to ever beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyond.info.
And No Borders Radio.
Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond.
Extraordinary times require extraordinary circumstances and extraordinary shows. Tonight is no exception to that extraordinariness. I am joined tonight by Tolek, who's got some amazing background sounds going on just now. Oh, no, that's mine.
That's you.
Actually, that was one of the tracks you gave me, Tolek. This is that was a bit of Dick Darrell there. Great album. Love it.
Some time ago.
Yeah, so some time ago was when we last spoke, and I've got a co-host from Ireland here, Alan, who's going to be sending loads of questions. He's always got loads of questions. Like, so he says, right, the first question: where the hell has he been for the last few months? So we're going to cover all that. Tonight I want to welcome Tolek onto the show, an extraordinary ever beyond. We need to get some words out, we need to get some stuff out, we got some news, and we'll take some questions later on, but there are a few things that Tolek needs to put out and lay out and lay on the ground and display for the world to see his side of things. Welcome, Tolek, how are you, my friend?
Doing great, JP. Life is, as always, busy, busy, busy. But I'm doing great. Life here in the high desert is a wonderful place. It's a little cooler, and the energy here is very, very calm. Also, I can see the Milky Way from horizon to horizon. There are no city lights to obscure the nighttime view.
How beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Where I lived about 6 years ago, I lived right in the middle of the country, surrounded by forest. You couldn't see anything, no light pollution. Absolutely stunning. You could see the Milky Way sweeping over. And here's the interesting thing. Not many people notice this, but the Milky Way is not aligned the same as the solar system. We're not aligned to the Milky Way. We're not in this kind of north-south thing. But anyway, that's another story, and we can talk about that another time. So you're all in this beauty. You're in a new location, a beautiful location where you can see the stars. And do you get any blinking lights up there?
Oh, we not only get blinking lights, we have traveling lights.
Nice, nice.
Yeah. Actually, I'm hearing some feedback from my end in terms of I'm hearing myself talk.
All right,
and it's.
Only when I've got my mic open. So if we're talking at the same time, you'll hear that. But otherwise, I mute my mic when everybody else speaks. So that won't happen all the time. It'll only happen when my mic's open. So you'll know that I'm wanting to speak.
All right. Get back to this piece of the conversation. I'm seeing a lot in the night sky. I had a great view of the Perseid meteor shower that happened a few weeks ago. Occasional meteors that pass across the sky. I saw one at the tail end of the Perseids, I think the last couple of nights. A horizon goes 180 degrees. Well, I saw a shooting star, if you will, that went about mid 90 degrees. I don't know, say from like almost 10 o'clock to about 3 o'clock, and a big arc across the sky. And it took almost the second half to 2 seconds. I was like, wow! It was a beauty. So this is the Southwest Desert at a higher elevation is a beautiful place to be.
That was a big lump of stuff, wasn't it?
It was big. It was huge. It was huge. I don't know how close it was, but to make that big of an arc across the sky and to last almost 2 full seconds was pretty amazing. Then, of course, we get with the occasional jets that fly by, you know, the high-level jets that fly by late at night, and also some lights in the sky that move erratically that I can't explain. I'll just leave it at that.
So, lights in the skies, lights in the solar system, comets,
yes,
controversy. We all thought we were friends. Things have gone a bit strange. Do you want to start addressing that now, or do you want to move a little bit, leave that for a little bit later?
No, I'd like to talk about it now, address it on its surface and in a little bit of depth, address my perspective, kind of draw the line in the sand, as I mentioned to you earlier, and then we'll move on and talk about more germane, important subjects.
Good, good.
Yeah. So, controversy. Or how do you say it?
Controversy. In Britain, we say controversy, okay. And in America, you say controversy. It's like aluminium. Exactly. We say aluminium. it's no biggie. Aluminium. What's wrong with that?
Yeah. and Jaguar.
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 Jaguar. Yeah.
Here in the States, we would say Jaguar. In any case, I normally have a very fun and playful personality, but I'm going to put that aside for a moment and address what has been said and who has said it and the realities of the situation. Some time ago, I introduced the global public, the global internet radio listening public, to Tanath of the Silver Legion. I've had great respect for her over a long period of time. And things have shifted from a good, positive relationship to something I don't understand that's coming from her and her camp. And I'll say that because Tanath and Tana, T-A-N-A-H, who is known as Sunfire, as well as Drake and some other people, had a radio show going for a while. And I started 3 to 4 weeks ago, I started to hear about... I had started to hear some feedback from some people that were writing to me, and I was hearing the words from Drake, and I'm going to paraphrase because I didn't hear him say it. Nope, there's something wrong with Tolek. He's working for the bad guys. I believe he was inferring that I'm working for the reptilians now. That is certainly not the case. I've heard from a number of other people regarding Tana, T-A-N-A-H, who is also known as Sunfire. And I've heard that she believes, and Tanath believes, that I'm possessed. nothing could be further from the truth. My work as Tolek is very intense, and it's very challenging, and it's very fulfilling. But I also live an Earth life. I've got some work that I do here. Yeah, I know. I've got some work that I do here on this planet. I'm not back in my career field in the computer software industry. I'm no longer doing any international banking, but I'm doing some work so I can pay some bills. So I work a lot. And as you guys both know, in order to work, in order to think, you have to have a very clear head. And I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm not possessed. There's nothing wrong with me at all. And I would go in front of anybody and put my hand on a Bible and say that for whatever it's worth.
So that's...
You're self-possessed.
That's the first thing I want. That's the first thing I wanted to clear up. Is there's nothing wrong with me. I'm fine. I've not been messed with. And moreover, my communication with my contacts on the Andromeda Council, who are executive management board members, which means they're non-voting members of the council. These are the same people I've been talking with since September of 2010, nonstop. And their information, whether it's right or it's wrong all of the time based on dates, they've always been consistent with me. And they've always been emphatic about what information they're providing to me. So my sources of information are the same. They haven't changed. So that leads to the conclusion also of, I am not working for the bad guys. I'm not working for the reptilians, Draco or Hydra, either of them. It's just not true. And I typically, JP, as I mentioned to you, I had some reservations about making statements regarding this information, but I typically would not address something like this, except that it's gotten personal, and these people are talking about me as a person. They're not only addressing the information that I'm sharing, but they're attacking, if you will, my sanity. And there's nothing wrong with me. I am absolutely in my right mind. So I just wanted to lay that out there and clear it up for anybody that's interested.
So, Dave, what's up?
What's wrong with your car?
Dave, can you hear me?
Is that old now?
Dave, your mic's open, mate. Dave!
There you go.
All right, so we might have a bit of that in the background. But anyway, keep going, mate. Keep going, Tolik, thank you.
Well, I was just saying, you know, in conclusion, contrary to, as another fellow Brit said to me, okay, so no presumptions, no assumptions, Tolik, you're fine, there's nothing wrong with you. And that's absolutely right. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm fine. I'm busy. Life is good. It's fulfilling. I've got great new friends in this new high desert town that I'm in. I love the weather, the environment, the people that I'm meeting. I enjoy my work, and I'm still doing my Tolik work full time. So it's a busy life, and I'm doing great. So I wanted to. Make that statement, draw the line in the sand, and say, I don't know where you guys, Tana, Tanath, Drake, are getting your information, but it's wrong. There's nothing wrong with me. And the information that I'm getting from the Andromeda Council, from my contacts, is as consistent as it ever was. And I will continue to share what they share with me with Global Public. And I'll do it in a clear and concise manner as possible, all the time. And that's the end of my statement.
Thank you. Thank
You're
you.
You're welcome.
Let's, you know, we got to keep things clear, because there can be, you know, the last thing that we need is something for the real bad guys to latch onto and put a crowbar in and force everybody apart. And then it becomes, oh, well, you know, are you listening to Tolik, or are you listening to Drake, or is it, whole BS that humans descend into their lower mind. And it's an old, old trick. It's the oldest in the book, Divide and Conquer. And so we don't need any of that. Everybody has their own discernment. If they haven't got their own discernment and they're just flowing with what, you know, what the herd is doing, then you're not really thinking for yourself. You need to apply your own critical thinking. I have a feeling. I feel. My intuitive sense takes me to these places. Sometimes they take me to a weird place, but it's always taking me one step closer to the truth. And sometimes you have to go through falsehoods in order to get to the truth. That's why, you know, that's why our world is constructed of falsehoods that hide the truth. So revealing the truth is often uncomfortable. People don't like it because it's ugly. It's not pretty. It's not rainbows and unicorns. It's nitty gritty. So thank you for tidying that up.
Yeah, and the heart. The heart, what people would describe as your intuition,
that is the best place that you can go to and come from in terms of making decisions. Now, am I saying, forget all the facts, don't do any of your research, just pay attention to your heart? No, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is, I make this recommendation globally to anyone that's interested in listening, at least. When you are about to make any kind of decision, whether it's lighthearted or very important, I would tell you to go into your heart and ask yourself, how does this feel? Does this decision feel right for me? Does it feel right for me at this moment in my life? Is the information that I'm being given, does it come from a place of caring and concern or a place of love? Those are the kinds of questions that I would ask. And take all of the information that you've learned and measure it against the intuition. Most people do the reverse. They take a whole bunch of facts and figures in, and they measure that first, and then they see how they feel about it. I would tell you to go the other way. Go to your heart first. Listen to your heart. By the way, if you hear some train noises in the background, it's a train.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, this is, it sounds massive. It sounds like you're on a train thundering through the valleys, and the sounds are rebounding ever all the place. It makes it a little, it actually made that little last speech a little dramatic. It was quite nice.
Yeah, no intent there. I'm in an old building, and yet as old and as thick, you know, adobe walls that this is, that train permeates the town, and you can hear it everywhere. And it's the desert Southwest, and the trains have been the bastion of transportation throughout the Southwest of this country for years. So yeah, they make quite an impact.
Oh yeah, well, it's a welcome sound, and it's like this, representing Third Ray, the transport and everything, and giving voice to it. So the Holy Spirit rolls. So.
Yeah, there you go. And one last comment about this statement I just made. I think, as I mentioned to you, I typically would not address something like this. If people want to have, people want to share the information they're learning, and the information's different than mine, that's fine. Doesn't bother me in the least. Everybody has a right to do that. What I do take umbrage at, and what I do take umbrage with, is when people attack each other, and when people make claims that have no basis in fact or reality. And that's what Drake and Tanath and Tom have been doing. And it's been directed at me personally. And that's where I draw the line in the sand. I'm not going to allow it. I will not. And I'll tell you what, it's unusual for me to tap in the kind of strength that I'm tapping into for myself. I would certainly stand up for you or anybody else that I like and respect and make the same statement. I will not allow people to attack each other. It's not part of how a caring, civilized society lives. And so I'm not going to allow it of me either. And I wanted to explain why I'm making the statement that I just made today. And I guess that's my final statement on the statement.
Well, I'd like to make a small commentary on the statement, about the statement, in that, there is an old psychological term, for want of a better word, but it's a thing that is used. And what it is that when a personality has been dissociated, and that means like it's been split in some way, and so like half of it is operating in consciousness, and the other half of it is operating in denial. And that creates a split thought. What happens is that the conscious mind sees the thing that is affecting it projected onto the outside and projected onto other people. And, you know, you'll often find, you know, especially when someone's really angry, they'll be telling you stuff all about you, and it's not about you, it's about them. And if you listen to what they say, and instead of hearing I hear, or instead of hearing you hear I, and they'll tell you the whole story. I just think people need to be aware of this little psychological truism that there are projections.
It's sort of like it's them projecting what they're going through onto somebody else.
Yes. Called projection. Yeah, and I mean it happens to so many people, and you can look at any film, you can look at any conversation that real people have with each other, and you'll see projection happening all over the place. I mean, they'll look at an inanimate object and say, "Oh, isn't it beautiful? Doesn't it feel real? You know, how does my little baby feel? You know, it's just a little soft toy," but they're projecting into it. They're ascribing emotions that are actually theirs, but they can't feel because of the dissociative split.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I think I've encountered that a couple of times in my life. I mean, we all have.
Yeah, exactly. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
And actually, if everybody realized this, if ever you're under attack, start doing that. Start thinking in your mind, when somebody's saying you, just substitute I, and hear what they're saying about themselves, because what people say about you is actually what they're saying about themselves. End of story. What do you think, Tolik?
Wow. Very interesting. Very interesting. I'll have to think about that as I start to encounter just day-to-day conversations in my life and just observe the dynamic of that and watch it happen.
Yeah, particularly the heated ones. Because when people are heated, they don't think right, you know.
Yes, yeah. and that's actually why, at least many times in my life, to the best degree that I possibly can, and I'm conscious of this dynamic actually. When I'm angry or when there's something that's really bothering me, I will let that anger subside, and I will let that issue that's really bothering me. And that's most of the time, the majority of the time. I slip up once in a while, but... And I'll wait till the heat of that issue has subsided to a manageable level. Because it's not about the fact that you're mad. It's about the fact that, all right, what do you do with that anger? And how do you treat the other person when you have a disagreement about something? It should not be in the heat of the moment. It should be later on. And that's what I do my best to do, is to address that particular topic, whatever it is, sometime later and go, hey, listen, remember when we were kind of angry at each other or we were talking before? Here's what was going on. And you talk about it rationally and you discuss it. And that way, you can avoid unintentionally hurting somebody's feelings. And I'm aware of that. I do it to the best degree possible.
Yeah, but it's not really about your feelings in this case, because you know when somebody's
it's about theirs.
Yeah, but it's not that they're attacking your feelings; it's that they're attacking your credibility, and damaging, because you know you're giving out some useful information. Oh, there's my phone.
Hello. Yeah. In this case, with Tanath and Tana and Drake. And Tana is the same person as Sunfire. They are absolutely attacking my credibility. But they're attacking me personally. That's the issue that I'm taking umbrage at. And no more. I'm not going to lay down and take it. I'm just not.
No. So well, you know, that's fair enough on any level, I'd say. You know, but, you know, it's like a professional credibility thing, and there are people who are listening to the message, and propaganda can really sway people. Still, we don't want it to, but it's almost an inevitability, because the balance between being awake and making your own choices about what your emotions do and being half asleep or being asleep is exactly at this point. This is the where they say the rubber meets the road. How do you deal with negative sounding information about, you know, we had this guy in Britain called Rolf Harris, yeah, and he was loved by children everywhere, and he was funny, and he made these funny songs, and now he turns out to be a pedophile. And so, you know, what are we doing? You know, do we throw out all the funniness, all the humor, every laugh that we have from this man? you know, I don't know. It's a very difficult. You know, do you shoot the messenger along with his message? Let's say.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I know what most of civilized society would say about that issue, but I'll tell you what. Let's move on to other topics, because this
one could get really dicey.
Absolutely. Let's raise our consciousness. Let's raise it far into the sky, into near-Earth space, into solar space. And NASA has been observing a large object that has been moving through the solar system. It's curved around the sun, I believe, or it's about to curve around the sun. It's been pictured. It's called ISON, ISON. It's been pictured as being a nice fuzzy white blob with a nice light, nice kind of white tail scooting out. And what has been going around on the internet in the last few days has been people have been taking this NASA image and just very, very simply turning down the intensity so that the bright blob is not so bright anymore. And you can see that there are three distinct shapes, three distinct forms in this white zone. One sphere and two lines, as it were, that are forming a kind of V-shape or a triangle form. So with that, that's what people have seen on the net. People are saying all sorts of things about it. What's your reality about this?
This is really interesting. I haven't seen... Now, you've listened, as we talked earlier today, I know that you listened to the video I produced.
Yep.
Called Comet Ison, a.k.a. Biosphere Xantarex. And like a lot of other people that look at the internet, I tried to find some photos that said, here's Comet Ison. So I downloaded three or four photos so I could tell the story of exactly what the biosphere of Xantarex is, what its purpose is, heading toward Earth space, etc., etc. But I had never seen an image that showed three objects. What I did was put together a compilation image based on what people were telling me. So I hadn't even seen anything. I just created that one image that is sort of triangular in shape, but based on what people were telling me, and certainly what the people from the Andromeda Council Biosphere were telling me about what it is and what's accompanying it, which will lead me into some discussion about what it is and what's accompanying it. First of all, it is not a Galactic Federation of light ship. It is not an Orion reptilian ship. It is not a Draco mothership. It is a ship that is flagged under both the Andromeda Council as well as the Galactic Federation. Now, I want to draw some lines here so that people understand the difference. First of all, the Andromeda Council, and I know people have probably heard this before, but the Andromeda Council, to keep the story short, is the equivalent of a deep space, intergalactic, interstellar United Nations. It's a developmental governmental body. The Galactic Federation is actually the senior members of the Andromeda Council, and it's coincidentally their sort of day-to-day management company. It's the guys that run around the ships to all the different planets that do the day-to-day management of trade, sharing of cultural knowledge from all the different planets that are part of the Galactic Federation and all of the different planets that are members in the Andromeda Council. Furthermore, these two entities are not only interstellar, intergalactic, but they are also include members from different dimensions. the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and higher. They don't ever use the words Galactic Federation of Planets. So this entity that Tana is talking about, I don't know who she's talking about. Galactic Federation of Planets is not the same as the Galactic Federation, which is part of the Andromeda Council. And the Galactic Federation of Light is not the same as the Galactic Federation, which is part of the Andromeda Council. So having said that, what is this? It is a biosphere. It has it represents 30-some-odd races that are traveling inside of it. There are thousands of people working there, executive officers, et cetera, et cetera. And it's joined or escorted by two large, and I describe them as city size because they're at least as large as the largest metropolitan cities in the U.S., if not larger. And they throw off an enormous glow. Now I'll say this, categorically, these are not cigar-shaped ships. Period, end of story. They are not. And they may seem to have an elongated look, like a cigar might, but they're not cigar-shaped ships. It's just the glow that these ships are throwing off at the perpendicular angle they are traveling in relation to the biosphere. When you take a disc and you put it at a perpendicular angle, which provides that sort of triangular group organization, it's going to throw an elongated glow on it. And that's all it is. As to the biosphere's Xantarex and its purpose, as I've mentioned a couple times, it is a harbinger for first contact and extensive visitation with the people of Earth. A number of people have already asked me, so Tolik, when's it going to get here? I don't know. I don't know exactly. I know that it will arrive and sort of park itself in really, really high orbit over the planet. And it will kind of be the go-to way station as the visitation starts to begin. And so you've got people like Ambassador Tanka, Vice Chairwoman Tanya, Diplomat Maka. They'll use this as a way station. The people from the four aligned Andromeda Council planets of Ventra, Teleka, Nicotay, Retol, who will be visiting with the people of Earth when the ongoing visitations start happening. They'll be using this biosphere as sort of a way station. But it is a harbinger for first contact and long-term visitation. That's its purpose. And as I mentioned in the video, it's traveling as slow as it is so that the people of Earth, to whatever degree possible, can view it, can have open discussion about it. They can even have disagreements about it. But it's traveling at the pace it's traveling so that people can see it in almost slow motion, if you will. If you have any questions about any of this, I'd be happy to answer them.
A magnificent, slow, graceful approach of
yes.
Our brothers and sisters from space, essentially.
Well said. Yeah, well said.
And you know, this, okay, so here we say, we see NASA, right? Never a straight answer. Nazis are still active, you know. It's my own little pet name for them.
Yeah, no, I've not heard that. That's good.
They've been saying, oh, look, it's a comet. And they crank up the brightness, and it looks just like a fuzzy blob, that, you know, like every other comet. It's got some unusual characteristics. One of them is that it's got this kind of blue tail that is coming off at a different angle. Is that right?
If you say so.
All right.
I downloaded a few pictures for the purpose of illustration and mm-hmm. telling the story. And yes, I saw sort of a second tail. I don't know exactly what that is. I don't claim to know what it is, but. Mm-hmm. What I shared with you in terms of the facts that I've learned is what my contacts from the Andromeda Council told me. Mm-hmm. A large, large biosphere is 300 miles in diameter, and then two very large escort ships, two primary very large escort ships that are sort of making the way.
Yeah.
And they're actually, this is important to voice also, they're from Procyon.
Yay! Yeah, we have to celebrate these guys.
Yeah, those guys. And those are the same guys. Procyon from their home planet is Kaena. K-A-E-N-A. And those are the same guys that pretty effectively took out, destroyed, dismantled, got rid of a whole bunch of undersea Draco and Hydra reptilian bases. So it makes sense that you want to send these guys along.
Yeah, this is like this is a victory. These are the people that liberated you. It's like not Dunkirk. What am I talking about? I can only think of the liberation of Belsen, for instance, and Auschwitz and those places. This is a victory march. This really is. Ah, hey, they're in a V shape, aren't they? How are they? Are they going to? What's the orientation of this little thing? Do you know how it's going to be orientated in our skies?
The biosphere will be sitting. The only thing that they've said to me is it will be sitting in a very, very high orbit. You know, it will. It'll look to people on Earth. It would look like a star, basically. But I do know that the people on this biosphere, this particular biosphere, Xantrax, as well as the people on the primary Andromeda Council biosphere, I had a conversation with my contacts a couple nights ago, and the question that I asked them was a result of all this new information. And I said, because I was curious, I said, all right, I know that you guys are busy, and I know that you've been on a number 10 high preparedness alert recently. Is that alert factor still in place? Yes, absolutely. Oh, okay, good. What do you guys have on the horizon? What's next on your docket, on your agenda, in terms of the next most important event that you have to be handling in relation to what you have on your plate? And they said, visitation. I said, no, I know that's important and I know it's coming, but there are other things that planet Earth is going to go through and you guys are going to be here for that. And out of all of those things, what's the most important item that's next on your agenda? And I said, visitation. I went, okay. I was like, it's rare that they keep it that simple. I mean, they are usually very direct in how they communicate with me and what they say. But he's like, listen, there's a lot that's going to happen on the planet, and we want you to know that the people up here on the primary Andromeda Council biosphere and the people on the biosphere Xantrax are excited. Now I'm going to use my word. They're jazzed. They're very, very excited about their ability and the opportunity to come here and peacefully, sort of like with arms and hands open, bringing whatever knowledge and technology that they have that they can bring to bear to help the people of Earth through a whole bunch of things that are going to happen during the transition and the actual transformation of this world going from 3D to higher dimensional, 4D plus. They're jazzed. They're excited. They can't wait. And so things are getting closer and closer and closer. When? I don't know. Things don't go by when. They go by the events that happen. Certain events have to trigger first, then the actual contact and visitation will take place. They stand ready to help, they're prepared, and the people from Procyon are ready and prepared just in case the remaining reptilians involved in the Cabal and whatever else decide to pull anything, whether it's an over attack or a power grab or something. The people from Procyon will take care of it.
So, because just as you say that, in one of the chat rooms, it says, come here and eat us. And this is the whole thing. The ones that want to eat, you have already been here. They've been here for a very long time.
That's right.
They have been eating us. I am not kidding. This is true, real reality, is that they've been eating us, and particularly our children. And we have so much to thank the Procyon people for removing, because they defeated them when, 13 years ago? It's very recent that they got the reptilians off the planet, off their planet.
Yeah.
Anyway, Procyon.
I'm thinking of the work that they did in the past 2 to 3.
Oh, I need to be more accurate than this. Let's see.
Let me just.
Autumn of last.
Sorry, I was just going to say, while you're thinking, I can just describe Procyon. If people are very familiar with the system of Orion, and Orion stands like a hunter with a belt and a sword. So if you're looking at the hunter and you follow Orion's outstretched right arm, you'll see a slightly orangey star, and that's Procyon. So that's where to place them. So they're in the Orion system.
Interesting. Very well. Yeah, as we see Orion from our skies.
Yes. Of course, yeah.
Yeah. But in any case, a couple of details. These are the guys that essentially took care of a large-scale reptilian presence on this planet. Draco, Hydra, Orion, Sirius B, and removed, destroyed, cleared out thousands of reptilian soldiers, of, if you will, civilian reptilian workers, as well as, I think, 2,000 reptilian officers, and I think 50 of the top cabal high officers and high officials as well, and within the past couple of years. I mean, it was an enormous effort that they went through to clear out these bases. So these are the guys, the people from Procyon, are the ones that are escorting this ship. Should the reptilians decide that they want to cause more problems? Or there's that train again. Sorry.
Oh, that's fine. That sounds really exciting.
Yeah.
And it's so America. It's pure America. That sound of the train going across the desert sands with the steam coming out the top and just disappearing because it's a desert and it's hot. And it's so America. Anyway, I hope I've managed to cover the time that the train has had to pass, and so you can carry on with what you were saying.
Sure. The other thing that you said, I don't talk a lot about this or my knowledge about this, but there are others that have David Icke. Does he pronounce it Icke or Ike?
It's Ike.
Okay, so yeah, David Icke has talked about this quite openly. Alex Collier, my predecessor, has talked about this quite openly. But the reptilians, when they, and there's some, it's worth going into some of the detail about this. They are, at least whatever we describe time as, in their present form of today, their natural form is fourth dimensional. It's low grade fourth dimensional, but it's like the first or second grade of the fourth dimension. And of course, understand that their form before that was 3D. So when they manifest, when they create a third dimensional organic body on this planet to have workers or to move among the population, when they're in their 3D form, since they were originally meat-eating reptilians, their 3D organic bodies that they manifest are hungry. And they prefer blood that is young and untainted, that doesn't have chemicals in it. They also prefer blood that comes from people who have been terrorized, kind of scared out of their minds. And apparently the way it works is the
the adrenaline that people produce in their bodies, you know, whenever people are in fear or in anger, creates that sort of flight or fight situation. It acts as a like a synthetic drug for the reptilians, and it makes them, for lack of a better word, it gets them high. So the more adrenaline-filled blood is, the more they love it. It's strange.
But it's, you know, they're a meat eater.
It does.
They're a meat eater.
Yeah. That's it.
It's just what it is.
Yeah. But here's the thing. You know, it doesn't work out very well for us.
No.
Because you know how we used to say, oh, you know, the lobster, it's boiling in the pan and it's going bubble, bubble, bubble. And it's just gas escaping from its lungs. And people who are now empathic and can hear and feel, they're feeling the terror and the screaming of this poor little lobster as it's being boiled alive, you know.
That's right.
And we used to see, you know, that is the same attitude that they have to us. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Yeah, we're just I think as Alex once said, we're just a consumable resource. And Alex was very careful about his words. He said, we're just a consumable natural resource. And I think he might have said, well, they eat us just like we eat cows. No different. And that's how they think of us. They think, the reptilians think of us as dumb animals.
That's right.
So that game's going to end. They're going to get kicked off this planet once for all. This is our planet, nobody else's.
It's a bit like Animal Farm, isn't it? and hopefully it's not going to end up like Animal Farm, because that's the way they want to slant it. But and here's the thing. We need to get to a point of inner peace and relationship within humanity, but we've been whipped up into such a frenzy by the reptilian race because we taste better. God's sake! I mean, where do you go with that? It's like, okay, how do I deal with this predator in front of me, you know?
This topic is so expansive. If you looked at it from a strategic perspective, well, gee, why do regional wars or global wars happen? Well, they not only consume the blood when they're in the physical, but human emotions have an energetic and vibrational output. And so when reptilians are in their current natural form of low fourth dimension, they consume negative energy. They consume anger, fear, avarice, greed, extreme anger, hatefulness, and the list goes on and on. So what better way to feed their energetic bodies than by starting wars? Gee, what's going on in Syria right now? Who's trying to start a war? Well, let's see. You have the cabal, which at the ultimate tip of the power pyramid, the reptilians run. And they have, of course, their human minions and lieutenants running things. They need another war.
Interesting.
It's for them and to the people that are running the cabal here on this planet. It's a distraction. Here, look over here. We don't want you paying attention to the really important things that are going on this planet right now or in your country, the UK or Canada or the US or anywhere else. Look over here. It's a distraction.
Yes.
And they're on the war cycle.
Yeah. War and rumor of war.
They pulled out of Iraq. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So they're on the war cycle. Time to start a new one.
I just want to nip back there. One of our listeners in the chat room says, I wonder if we taste like chicken. And actually, I would say that we taste more like pork. More like bacon. They probably make bacon from us.
Well said.
Oh, anyway, meanwhile, let's go. That's right. Tracy says burning flesh smells like pork. So yes. I think reptilians might taste like chicken,
it's
though.
It's not a fun... It's not a fun topic, but it's a serious one whose time, I guess, has come to the surface. It's good that people know about this reality, but it's also a really good thing that after I don't know how many countless years that the powers, what people ubiquitously call the powers that be, that run this planet, who are actually the lieutenants of the cabal, who are the reptilians, it's time for them to go. You know, if you have a despot or a dictator that runs a little country and he abuses his people and he kills them, it's time for him to go. Period. End of story. Should not be allowed. Oh, yeah, I love my people. I eat them. I don't think so. No. So other items on the agenda. What else?
Indeed. Rather than us being on the dinner table, actually, here's one of the things. Food.
Yes.
Now, I have a feeling that a lot of the plants that exist elsewhere in the galaxy actually exist on Earth as a seed planet. But will there be interplanetary and intergalactic trade opened up now, which means that I can buy some Procyonides cheese, or maybe some Procyonides parsley, just like something really harmless that's not gonna need quarantine or anything. You know, herbs, spices. You know, I like food. You know, we all like food. Is there a kind of? It's got to be. I mean, I it would be ridiculous to imagine that the world isn't like that.
Absolutely.
There's a long, somewhat long answer to this, but I'll try to be as concise as possible. After some period of time, after the transformation of this planet from 3D organic to becoming a 4D fine matter essence, higher dimensional world, I've been told by my Andromeda Council contacts that there will be a period of about like 10 to 12 years whereby the system, the economic system that we have that predominantly runs the globe today, which is, I'll use the American and British system. You pay with a dollar or a pound, which is called money, and you receive something in return, a product or a service. That system will be phased out because predominantly throughout the universe, money is not used. There is no paying for. And certainly I've learned that the planets of the Galactic Federation, which includes all the senior members of the Andromeda Council, they don't use money. It's just not used. Now, one of the reasons is, as a higher dimensional species, either through our own new mental capabilities to create forms out of thought called manifestation, or be a technology, we won't need any money anymore. We won't need money because through either those two mechanisms, either ourselves or through higher dimensional technology, we'll pretty much be able to manifest, aka create, whatever we want and need in life. And that includes future transportation, that includes energy, that includes a whole bunch of things. So the need for money won't exist. But will we as individual sovereign people on this planet, and will this planet be part of a greater trading federation? Absolutely. Education, culture, arts, technology, as well as thyme, rosemary, you name it. Yeah, absolutely. But that's the full answer. And as a formal member of the Galactic Federation, Earth will have a representative body called the Joint Earth Council. And that will be Earth's formal representation on the Galactic Federation, part of the Andromeda Council. And will we become a trading member? Absolutely.
unequivocally. How long will it take? You know, I think any planet that starts with junior status, it has to kind of earn its way up in terms of credibility. So, you know, it's going to take us a little bit of time, but we'll get there.
Okay, so...
As you know,
we mutts on this planet are a resilient race of people, or many races of people. And this woman's comment about this planet being seeded is absolutely accurate. I remember a conversation that I had back in the early 90s with Wendell Stevens, and we were talking about the diversity on this planet, and I asked him a question that was exactly about this topic, and he looked at me and he said, absolutely. He said, the reason that so many extraterrestrials visit this planet is because it's like a laboratory of diversity. He said, there's more diversity on this one little blue planet than any other planet. Moreover, it's almost like a microcosm of the whole organic universe. Almost anything that can be seeded has been seeded here. And so have there been some ships coming back here and saying, we need some palm trees, we need palm oil, or whatever the products are? They'd likely come back and taken a few seeds and taken some things that they've run out of. That's certainly possible. But that was his explanation. He said, this is like a diversity lab, a biodiversity lab, a big one. There's more diversity here than anywhere else in the universe. I was pretty astounded because I was a kid back then. It was like early 90s. I was like, wow, you know, eyes wide open.
Yeah, but that is this is something that the Earth people need to know. That this is why the Earth is so special. And we can look at this. We can also, you know, for various reasons, I had to visit Cyprus a few times. This little island in the middle of the Mediterranean. And I believe this is one of the residences of what they call the gods, what I call the the intergalactic criminals, and the criminal cabal, as they were then, and they were known as the Titans and the Olympians, and they lived up the mountain. And Cyprus has more varieties on the island of every other plant than elsewhere on the planet. Which kind of really, it's like that area, wow. Cyprus, Jordan, you know, all these beautiful places that are being bombed to desert, that have already been bombed to desert before. Guess, you know, this, you know, the Sahara doesn't really have to be there. It's because of a nuclear war that happened there thousands of years ago. You know, that's where we get the deserts from, isn't it? So.
Wow.
We have all of these.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's something to think about, that we're Mad Max. This Mad Max world is Earth now. And it's only now we're all being able to join the dots together and say, hang on a second. Right. Yeah, we've just been blasted for thousands of years. Our minds have been fragmented. We can't remember anything. And we just keep doing the same insane things because there's one big piece of the puzzle missing. Yeah, we're in a war. We're in a war zone. And that's what's the problem.
Right. Yeah, there are so many factors that affect people's lives, you know, including the outside influence of, and whether people like this reality or not. And I know it's a difficult one to even consider, much less accept, is the topic of, if you will, a hidden or invisible reptilian race, because their natural form is 4D, which people can't see. A reptilian race which is bumping up energies, or rather maybe manipulating energies for their own purposes to get people angry and pissed off and agitated and confused, which all of those emotions have an energy reading, which the reptilians love to absorb. they absorb energy, just like when they're in their 3D form, they absorb blood. That's hard. That's a hard topic for people to consider, but the reptilians are just one of the problems. The other problem is that we as a race, and the only comparison I can think of is that of like a third or fourth grade child. I don't even know if we're that high up. We are extremely, and I'm talking globally now, we are extremely immature, both emotionally as well as spiritually.
What age is that, Tolik? Sorry, we don't do grades in Britain.
Oh, I don't.
How old is that? Like 6, 7, 8? What?
Oh. Yeah, 9, 10. 11.
Okay, so.
But we're like children.
We're like emotional children. At least the bulk of people on this planet are very much like emotional children who do not handle their emotions with responsibility, do not know what the depth of their emotions is, do not know how to treat their emotions and the energy of their emotions with any respect. It's kind of like the story I was telling you about, all right, what happens when I get angry or get mad? And I do from time to time. What do I do about that? How do I treat the other person? What's the best way to go about remedying the anger? Well, my approach, and I'm sure there are others, is to manage that, to feel it completely, but to manage it and respect it and treat the other person respectfully in the process. Most people aren't even aware of this. And there are other examples of emotional maturity, but we are, as a whole, neither are we spiritually mature. When most people say, oh, I've chosen the spiritual path, they really don't know what that means. And so I guess what I'm leading to is that developmentally we're a young planet. We're, you know, we have not been exploring as a collective human race on Earth, even though we're a composition of, you know, there are these races, you know, what we would call the Caucasian race or the African race, or the Asian race, or the red Native American race. We're not from this planet originally. Physically, we come from other places. That's the first thing. The second thing is that our souls and our spirit essences originally come from other star systems, other planets. So we have souls and spirits, physical bodies from other planets, all having to live on the same planet. It's not an easy experience. And peace has not been our hallmark. I mean, how far back does war go? I mean, even if we don't think about the 20th century, war goes back thousands of years that we've been killing each other. Now I'll use the word. Does a civilized race of people really kill each other? Really? It makes no sense. That's one of the reasons why we're not emotionally mature. Do civilized people attack each other? No. No, they don't. So these are just examples of mine as to why this planet is not emotionally mature. But we're getting there. There are people that are evolving. There are people that are waking up. There are people that are following Blog Talk Radio, the people that are listening to internet radio shows like yours. The planet is waking up. Consciousness is waking up more today, and in the past 2 or 3 years it has happened in a long, long time. But we're still a young, immature planet.
Good.
We'll get there.
Yeah, I think
it looks like we're getting there. Kicking and screaming, but we'll get there.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that
some of my humble thoughts.
The way that Europeans have been thinking about the way America has been behaving in the last couple of years is also indicative of that same sense of, like, you know, you're such a young country and you're behaving like a badass teenager, you know, going around stomping on the world. But now we realize that, you know, this is a possession. They are possessed. You know, the American government is possessed by an evil spirit. That spirit we call the Cabal. And we know that it also has a higher dimensional, spiritual, higher dimensional sources and drivers and, what's the word, informing spirit. So
that's right.
So there's many reflections that we can look at, you know. So if people are saying, you know, I can't really relate to what you're talking about. Yes, you can. There's many ways of relating to this situation. The universe is a fractal, and the ancient words were as above, so below. Which means that we're part of a fractal omniverse. You know, it's not a universe. It's not a multiverse. It's an omniverse. It's everywhere all at the same time, blinking in and out of existence 22 trillion times a second. We're spiraling through space. You know, the whole flat Earth, flat universe is, everything's becoming, it's popping up into three and four dimensions as in our minds now. We're starting to see in four dimensions. You know, to imagine a cone moving through space and rotating, that's fourth dimensional thinking.
That's right.
So,
right. But even the concept of life is far greater than I have ever imagined. I was having a ad hoc quiet conversation with Mark Kimmel within the past month and a half or 2 months, I don't remember exactly when, but we were just kind of catching up, and he said, Tuller, he said, I was having a conversation with my Andromeda people, my celestials that I talk to, and we were talking about the nature of life. I said, oh, okay. He said, I asked them about the amount of life throughout the universe, his kind of words. And he said, or rather they said, Mark, do you realize that the amount of life that permeates the universe, 99% of it is not organic? And he went, what?
Life.
That means
only one, right. That means that only 1% of intelligent, sentient life is like, that permeates the known universe that all of the higher dimensional people are aware of. You know, whether you call it universe, omniverse, or multiverse, for the sake of this conversation, I'll say universe. They are telling him, these higher dimensional celestials are telling him, that only 1% of life represents organic physical life, like you and I have down here on this planet Earth. You know, there's dirt, rocks, water, buildings that we see. That's organic life. 1%. They said 99% of life is higher dimensional. He's like, Mark's like, it's in the trillions. He said, and moreover, a lot of those life forms don't even know we exist. We move at such a slow pace, it would be like trying to track an ancient turtle crawling across the ground. That's how slow we move in comparison to them. And there's no evaluation in terms of whether this is good or bad. Good or bad, it just is. I was like, wow. I mean, try to wrap your head around that. That's an enormous amount of life thriving throughout the universe, omniverse, multiverse, whatever we call it.
That's right, and we think we're alone. What we're alone in is we're alone in being like the 1%. You know, we're the 1% of the. You know. So that's really
that's
interesting.
That's right.
Ah, wow. And so, yeah. So, like, what is? Yeah, how do you measure that? What 99%? All right, let's not think about that. But we're looking at the physical universe. As we see it, we think it's so huge, yet it represents just one thin slice of a whole bunch of layers that make up one layer of a number of gathered bundles of layers that gather and gather, and you know, it just gets more and more And that's what you see as going up the dimensions, when you see more and more of these layers that extend before you. Anyway,
who was the writer that passed away recently? And he was talking about when the Hubble telescope first went up, and they were actually able to measure 1 inch of space. He was the guy who was the inspiration for the movie Contact.
Carl Sagan?
But in any case...
Thank you. Sagan, yes. Carl Sagan. And I'm going to paraphrase what he said. And it had to do with... It's like, all right, well, the Hubble measured like 1 square inch of space, and they found 400,000 galaxies. And he said, if out of those 400,000 galaxies, there was only X amount that had stars like our sun, that means that there's going to be Y number of planets. And the number of planets like Earth was in the thousands. I honestly don't remember what the number was, but it was in the thousands. And interestingly enough, today, if you fast forward and take that concept from when Sagan said that back when, 20 some odd years ago, to today, isn't it interesting that within the past, what, 2-3 years, certified scientists, PhDs, are saying, wow, there are all of these super Earths that we're finding, well, used to be beyond our range. We're finding these large, large Earth-like planets, Gliese 6346 and a whole bunch of others, that they're just discovering. Well, how about that?
Or...
How about that?
Or they already had a space program that had already gone out and found and discovered and made contact with these other people on these other planets. And that they were just saying that, oh, maybe one day, but it's already happened. Do the council ever talk about the secret space program?
No. Those are not questions I ask them about. But I have a good friend by the name of Jim Nichols, who's still in Tucson, and Jim has extensive expertise in this topic. And he talks about a General Twining, of Colonel Philip Corso, and a whole bunch of people that knew about a space program that was setting up bases on the Moon and Mars well before NASA ever put its foot on the Moon with the Apollo program. As a matter of fact, today, the space program that is not spoken about is called Space Command, and it's operated underneath the label of the four areas of defense for the U.S. Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines. Each of them have a branch that's all part of the militarization of space. And I think it's called U.S. Space Command. And nobody ever talks about it. Why?
Well, because nobody talks about it.
Because it's run in secret.
Yeah, it's a secret. That's why nobody talks about it. That's what secrets are. These are things. Except we talk about it on Ever Beyond, because very few people realize that we're here. But those who do, they're the good ones.
If you wanted to talk
at length about the secret space program, Jim Nichols would be the guy to talk to. Absolutely.
Jim Nichols. All right. I've got a good and rather penetrating question here that has just come out of the chat room.
Sure.
And it's a very good question, because, you know, it's a question that I myself ask of many, many people. All right, and this is from Scorpion. He's saying, how does Tolek know he's communicating to the council? He might be controlled by the Velons, Archons, or Tavistock Institute. How would he know?
The what?
Did you get...
I might be controlled by what?
By the Velons, Archons, or Tavistock Institute. The Tavistock Institute were the people who influenced Eileen Caddy and the Course in Miracles people, you know. That's called voice-to-skull technology. But you don't have, like, just this voice in your head. Do you want just briefly outline your connections and how you know that they're solid?
Okay. There are a lot of aspects to this question and the story behind the validity, but okay. In no particular order, the gentleman who I met back in the late summer of 1993, who took me back in time three times, I safely left this planet, went back in time, flying to this planet, if you will, three times. He gave me directions to go south of Tucson, meet him out in the desert, he picked me up, we took a trip, we went back in time, we watched the family. I did this three times. He picked me up and he dropped me off safely every single time. Would somebody who's trying to control me do that with no agenda? So I would ask that question. He's the same gentleman, interestingly enough, he's the same gentleman that I met again and have met a few times since then, back in September of 2010. Said, well, you remember when I picked you up? Yeah, I do. So, well, here's my real job. You know, this is what I do every day of my life. I'm the commander of the Primary Andromeda Council Biosphere, and of course, many, many questions later comes all of the information that's available on the Andromeda Council website. I have met in person Vice Chairwoman Tanya. I have met Ambassador Maka. Sorry, Diplomat Maka. I have met Ambassador Tanka. I have been on the Andromeda Council Biosphere myself physically at least three times that I'm aware of consciously, and probably a whole host of other times. I have seen untold numbers of diplomats coming out of meetings, and I was even involved, you're going to love this one, I was even involved in a group picture one time. They're like, come on, all you guys, you know, some guy standing there with a 3D holographic camera taking a picture of all of us that were coming out of a meeting. I know that these are only my stories, and this is only what I've experienced, but it's what I can provide to people as examples of my experiences in meeting with the people of the Andromeda Council. The other information that I can provide that might have some validity for people is I've got a good imagination. My imagination is not this good. But I would not be able to create all of the facts of the information that says there are X number of star systems, I think it's like 300 plus, and 144 some odd planets in the Galactic Federation. This is the Galactic Federation's role as part of the Andromeda Council. Here's what the Andromeda Council is. The Andromeda Council is a governmental interdevelopmental body of planets and systems, etc., etc., etc. I can't create that stuff. It doesn't come from my mind. It's information that was shared with me. I think probably the most, and in closing on this topic, probably the most vilifying and affirmative information that I can share with people is that I have lost track, and I'm being literal here. I have the number of times that I learned some specific piece of information by contacts, and I've heard that same information confirmed two or three days later by a completely different third party disinterested source, somebody who's come to me and said, hey Tolik, I just heard that, or I've been thinking that, or I've learned that. No, they come forward with some information that matches exactly what I've been taught from the Andromeda Council, and I've only learned this information from my Andromeda Council contacts. And I'll always look at friends of mine and go, aha, confirmation. So in short, I'm also getting independent third-party confirmation from other people I don't even know that to a great degree, and I'm not saying 100%, but let's call it 90% plus of the information that I'm learning from the Andromeda Council is dead nuts, spot on accurate, because it's getting confirmed by people I don't even know. So collectively, that's as much as I can tell you about why I know that my contacts are with the Comic Council, including seeing logos and uniforms and badges and stuff from visiting up there. That's the best I can do for you.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. I just want to be done with all these stupid questions because, you know, if they're asking questions to attack, you know, forget it. Just, you know, if you think that we're talking stupid stuff, then, you know, just switch this off. If you're listening to the archive and you think, well, just click away. You get a little buzz from it. It's fine. Yeah. But there are people who might be wanting to listen to this because they are interested in international, intergalactic, interplanetary relationships of peace and of cooperation and of building a new society that is based on a dominion of self-government and of non-domination. And that's
cooperation.
And this is you know, this is the vibration that I get from you, right? And from all of the Andromedan people and representatives who I meet, all of them are harmless. This is my litmus test is harmlessness. How are the ripples going out? What comes back?
Absolutely.
Does it come back as love, or does it come back as anger, or does it come back as hate? And where does that hate come from? You know,
I personally, in my moment by moment, hour by hour, day to day life. And again, you know, I'm living a human life just like everybody else, and I goof every once in a while, I slip up. But for the most part, one of the axioms that's like on my top ten list is actually there are two of them. One is, how can I help? As I live my life and I'm in different working situations, how can I help? That's one of the top ones. And the other top one is, do no harm. Why would some not good or bad guys control and try to hire a guy who lives by the axiom of do no harm? That's contradictory. It makes no sense at all. So no, I am who I am, and they've hired me to do this job, and I'm going to keep doing it to the best of my ability. End of story. They want to get rid of me? They can do that. But I'm just going to keep doing this Tolduck job to the best of my ability until it's time that I'm supposed to do something else. And it is work, believe me. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, and okay. So there's the other question is, you've got a name, you got a real name, and that you you know, I it's just a thing. It's not so important. It's actually to protect his family and his working colleagues and his working relationships. Imagine if all, you know, you're working with some guy. And he's teaching you, and you're giving him credibility. And suddenly, you find out he's working for some space aliens. How do you think he's gonna go down? So, that's why it's a stupid question. And you know, I'm sorry, I'm getting passionate about it because there is a reason, and it's like, why do you need to know? And if you wanted to meet the guy and have a conversation, I'm sure I can connect you and you can have a private conversation if it was okay with him. Okay, so, sorry about this, but on you go, Tony.
I'll tell you what, if it were strictly about me, if I was one person on this planet who had zero family members and no friends, you know, just an isolated guy, I might consider going, oh yeah, this is my name, this is where I live, come on over and visit, we'll talk anytime. But I'm not that person. I have personal family members. I have parents. Well, I have sisters. They have families. They have kids. I've already had one guy try to blackmail me and go after my family, my personal family members. I'm not going to allow it. It is not going to happen. My work as Tolduck is my responsibility. And therefore, my private life is my private life, period. And that is the end of that discussion. And I'll tell anybody everything that I know about what I learned from the my contacts in Andromeda Council. My private life is my private life, and that's where it ends. Next.
Yes, and I think we really should leave that out there because, let's not get heated about it, but that's where it's at. Okay,
no,
so we've got some more...
Next.
Some more questions. okay, and this is again a question of how do we know whether the thing? Okay, so is the Andromeda Council aligned with the Christ? What's the relationship with the being that they call the Christ?
Well, because in my youth I was raised Roman Catholic, I know what they're talking about. They're talking about the persona of whether you call him Emmanuel, Yeshua, Jeshua, or Jesus Christ. I can tell you this, based on some conversations that I've had regarding spirituality with Tonka, Ambassador Tonka, the spiritual ambassador, and the ambassador to the Native American people, for that matter. We talked about the beliefs of the Andromeda Council. And they absolutely believe in a universal, all-pervasive, benevolent energy source that permeates the whole universe. And whether people call this creative energy source creator, God, the source, the one, and there are a whole bunch of names. The names are endless for God and or creator. They absolutely believe in a creator. And that's been their position from the beginning. So that's my formal answer to that question. Now, I don't know if that is equivalent to Christ consciousness, but that's been their answer. Jay?
Yep.
Okay.
So, I hope that's, there's your answer, my dear.
I know the statement of Christ consciousness equals an all-pervasive, I guess all-pervasive is the best, multi-universe, energy force that permeates everything, that permeates all life. I don't know if that exists at the same level of Christ consciousness because I'm not in that sort of new age way of measuring things. I just don't know. So, I'm ready for the next question.
good. Let's keep going. I mean, these are hard questions. And, this is a good one. Did the guest feel love from his ET friends? How did it feel? How does love feel? Well, yeah, how does love look? Are they touchy-feely? Do they give you hugs? What does it feel like to be hugged by an ET who's like 7 foot tall? I mean, there's so many questions about the actual personal experience that I think that would be very a valuable thing for you to paint a picture of for the audience in order to get... This is your personal experience.
Had me up there in this physical Earth human body form. So I visited in this body. I've also been up there in my original form, and I have some deep knowledge about this because, as I say to my friends, to friends of mine, I'm a pain in the butt. I just keep asking questions. And so what I've learned about my own origins, my own spiritual origin, what that means is, many years ago, a long time ago, approximately, 1,100, 1,250 years, something like that, my soul and spiritual essence was created in the location of the Taygeta star system, which is one of the main stars of the open Pleiades star cluster, also called the Pleiades constellation. My original soul and and spirit essence is from the planet Dokote. The Tegeta star system has, which is their sun, has four planets: Dokote, Pella, Vira, and Era, if I'm pronouncing those right. And Era is actually the planet of the woman who was called Semyasi from the Billy Meyer contact case. So my original soul and spirit essence comes from the planet Dokote, which is the planet of origin for many, many, many of the native peoples, specifically Native Americans here in the U.S., as well as other peoples. Dakota, Lakota, Nakota, Comanche, Apache, Cree, and a whole bunch of others. They originated from the planet Dokote. So I've also been on the Andromeda Council biosphere when I've been in my fourth dimensional original soul and spirit essence body form, looking like a 7'2"-ish Dakota. Now, there are also other people that work for the Andromeda Council. One of those people is the commander of the primary biosphere. He's from the planet Dokote. So I have people up there that I know from my home planet. There are other people up there from Dokote who work there. There's apparently a special relationship from people generally known as living in the area of the Pleiades and that of Earth. There's a long history of people from the Pleiades from Era with the planet Earth, and it's not so good. Apparently there's no karmatic mess between the people from Dokote and the people of Earth. How does that answer the question? Well, bottom line is, every time I'm up there, I'm welcomed warmly. It's like, hey, great to have you back. You know, these are my words, but great to have you back. You're here. It's time for some meetings. Come on. The people are waiting for you, et cetera, et cetera. I feel very loved. Very loved, very cared about, very cared for. I've never had any difficulties during any of the times that I've been up there, in meetings or otherwise. I'm busy. I'm always very, very busy while I'm up there. But no, I'm very loved and very cared for. So it's a great situation. I guess it also helps to have some people that are from your home planet that are up on that biosphere working as well. So it's a good situation.
So more than love,
I'm also respected from what I hear, the feedback that I hear. They like my work. They like my work as Tolik. They like the way that I'm presenting the information. They respect the work that I do. That's the best way I can say it. So yes, there's love, care, affection, and a few other things.
I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, that's fine. So I mean, like, more than love. This is something. It's a highly emotional, poignant point of pointiness. But what we don't realize, you know, everybody's like, yeah, I can see people are very agitated about this. Now, there's another issue, and this is something that I've been talking about on my shows for a few weeks, months now. I've been feeling an increasing tingle of excitement, getting more and more and more. And when you said that the people on the biosphere are getting excited and they're jazzed, that was nailing the vibration of it. All right, I can feel them coming. I'm going to say that.
And you know what? You're not the only one.
Yeah.
I've had other people write to me saying, Tolik, I don't know if you're right or not, but something's going on. I can feel it. I've had a few people write to me recently saying, there's something coming down on this planet in October. October, they're like, I don't know why, but October seems to be like the bellwether month, that if anything's going to be happening on this planet, that's it. And I went, really? Because I don't pay attention to dates anymore. I really don't. What I want to do is get the information right, get it accurate. But there are so many factors that can affect when something's going to happen. They've pounded it's a, I know it's a saying, but they've pounded this into my head, the concept that things out in space, especially in this very busy area of space that our solar system now resides in, are very, very active. And they're, you know, they can look forward, they can absolutely look forward into the future because they don't deal with time. They can look at what happens, and they can look at what happens within, I don't know, a few months, but time is a very, very elusive concept, especially when you step. It just doesn't exist. And from the fourth dimension up, time doesn't exist. It's a third dimensional creation. So in any case, I'm having a number of people writing and telling me October is a month. I can feel it. I'm excited. I know these things are going to happen. So, like, okay, well, that's interesting, but we'll see. We'll see. You're not the only one that's excited. There are a lot of people who are feeling it.
Yeah.
I think it's actually kind of good that in this regard, I'm kind of neutral. I almost have to be in order to keep the information that I'm getting, you know, on a factual even keel. Because what I do is I just try to report what I'm hearing, what I'm learning, in the most concise, visual, and textual way possible. I'm just trying to provide it as accurately as I possibly can, you know, without getting excited about it. So it's actually kind of good that I'm not emotionally connected to what's going on, you know, at least the best degree that I can be.
That's great. Still people.
Sorry.
Yeah, no. This is the thing. See, it's like.
See, I just try to be balanced.
Of course. And, you know, like I'm saying, you know, I'm feeling this sense of excitement, like, and I'm not sure where it's coming from. And I don't have anything to pin it to. So I'm just putting it in the, like, mystery excitement box. You know, something's coming. I don't know whether it's good or it's bad. I don't know whether it's fear or excitement, but it is tingling. There's an F-16 coming over the top of me on the way to the local airbase. Yeah. Go ahead.
I wish you could have seen the perplexed look on my face when they said, oh yeah, the people on the Primary Andromeda Council Biosphere and all the people traveling on Xantarex, they are very excited. And I went, really? You know, it's one of those, really? And I went, yeah, they're really excited because they've been preparing for this moment in the evolution of your planet for a long, long time, but especially recently. You know, remember that we are now on a high alert preparedness level. We're on the number 10, the highest level of preparedness that we can be, because things are happening on your planet, and very, very in the near future, we're going to be involved. We're going to be involved helping the people of planet Earth with all of the different transitions and with the transformation of your world. We're going to help to the greatest degree possible.
Okay.
And we're excited.
Okay, so here's the thing.
I'm like, okay, great.
Here's the thing, though, Tolek. There are a lot of people who have been beaten, badly traumatized, and over and over and over and over and over again, we've been disappointed. Oh, it's going to happen then. Oh, it didn't happen then. Yeah, certain events, may have happened within a time period, but because people are so fixed to the clock,
yes,
then they'll not see that. Yeah, there was a prediction. You know, people expect a prediction to be true to a clock. That only happens on Earth. That because Earth is ruled by this thing that we call time. That's the mechanism by which we are ruled. Do you not understand this, people? Right? Because it's events. It's what my guides have called accretions. One thing has to be accreted before the next layer can go on.
That sounds like me speaking. That's exactly, and I've been pretty consistent with this explanation for at least like the past 4 or 5 months. I've been telling people, it's not about when. Please understand that things happen throughout the universe, not based on when, but by certain events happening first that trigger other events that trigger other events. That's how things happen. There's nobody standing there with a clock going, oh, okay, we said we'd... It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. So it's funny to hear you tell it, because that's the same story I tell. It's about events happening that trigger other events. The other thing I think people ought to know is that underneath the surface of this earth, there's a lot going on that people can't see. There's an enormous amount of magma and lava flowing. There's enormous amounts of disruptions. If people only look at the USGS website, and I know that I've said this before, and there are other ones as well. There's what's called in Europe the EMSC website. The number of earthquakes and the level and magnitude of earthquakes, it's sort of... And every time I look, which is only like once every 6 or 7 days, it's kind of off the charts. And it's almost like a connect-the-dots game, because the whole Pacific Rim of Fire is almost lit up. And it's almost all connecting. North America, Asia, Europe, down to Australia, and it's starting to connect down South America as well. So it's like, that's right, there's nothing going on. Everything's normal. Okay, then why is the USGS website and why is the EMSC website showing so many earthquakes along what people might consider to be ley lines or grid lines, energy lines around the world? What's the answer? That's right, there's nothing going on. No change happening. Planet's not evolving. Right.
So, this event, okay, so, and again, there was a question earlier on, that dovetails in at this moment. Okay. Oh, and by the way, we won't take call-in questions. We'll just take the text chat. We've got plenty of questions to answer. It looks like, you know, we could easily go on another 3 hours. But, you know, I've got schedules, you've got schedules. Thank you for coming on at this short notice, Tolek. And, well, it kind of works out for everybody. It's good fun. So...
Oh, thank you.
The question that came up before was this biosphere and the Procyon people and all the other people are here for the event of the planet evolving, us along with it, and therefore them along with it with us too? Is that part of the plan?
Wow, good question. I would imagine that the people who are already fourth dimensional, fifth dimensional, sixth dimensional, you know, in their natural form, they're going to go through a bump up in vibrational output, and, you know, in terms of who they are. But see, what's going on is, you know, without getting into all the philosophy of what's going on, this solar system, it's not only planet Earth, this solar system, including this planet, is now located in an area of space that the energies are higher. In concert with that concept is also the concept that this is the moment of our evolution. However it's come about through all of the years, this is the moment of our evolution on this planet and of this solar system. You know, it's an interesting question. I actually haven't asked that question in terms of, will the people who are traveling here be affected by the shift from 3D to 4D of our planet? I'm sure the higher vibrations will affect them, but I don't know if it'll change them as they're visiting here. Some of them are 3D people. Many of them are 4D and 5D people that will be manifesting 3D bodies that they can visit. The people, as an example, which is a completely different reference point, but the people that live on the planet Nihohia, which is traveling with the dwarf star called Tacoma, when they get into position somewhere in and around the planet Venus, they will go for the I do know emphatically that they will go from the transformation. They will go from being 3D organic people into becoming 4D higher dimensional people. That I know for sure. I've had that explained a number of times. That's the best answer I can give you on that one.
Yeah, because this is one of the interesting things. This is the thing that I've been waiting for, which is the event of the, you know, it's like, I don't know, will we all go up in one big flash and everything's different, or will we not even see the flash? It may be an X-ray flash, you know, we never know. Gamma rays, could just suddenly everything would be, you know, different, or suddenly nothing changed. Suddenly everything's just exactly the same it was, and then things start changing. start going new normal, you know, on us.
I think that in terms of our planet today, I know we probably can't see it, but there are probably aspects of this planet that are already vibrating at a higher level, at a higher frequency rate. But based on what I've learned about the fourth dimension, or as the fourth density, as some people call it, or other dimensions, is that things are different. First of all, it's not an organic existence. It doesn't have density and mass like we experience it. It's not slow and dense. It's a faster vibration. It's not based on carbon. It's based on crystalline molecules and atoms. So it's a complete, from what I've learned, and this has been verified by, and I learned this after, I learned this information in terms of the acknowledgement that what I was learning is consistent with what other people are learning. I heard the same information roughly from David Wilcock and Nassim Harriman a couple of months after I learned it from my Andromeda Council contacts. They talked about when you start to move molecules and atoms at a faster rate, they start to turn transparent, and they're no longer organic in nature, they're crystalline. And I went, yeah, confirmation! This is great! Because these two guys, independently, just confirmed what I learned a couple months earlier. And I love it when that happens, because I'm like, oh, okay, these guys are consistent in what they're teaching me. So other people have learned the same thing about the higher dimensions, is in that they're not the same as this slower organic dimension. They're just not. And there are a whole host of other people that have experienced and have some knowledge about fourth dimensional life. Drendula Melchizedek is one of them, and there are others as well. But I understand that fourth dimension life is certainly different. I've done a couple of interviews on it, and it includes talk about seeing and hearing with far greater acuity, experiencing colors like we've never ever seen before, being able to not only manifest things, but being able to manifest ourselves here and then go to another place simply by thinking it. These are all aspects of fourth dimensional life, which we can't do currently as 3D people. How will it look when we get there exactly? I don't know, because I'm still a 3D person as I live this Earth life. No. I can tell you physically what I look like as a 4D man from Dakota, but I don't have any other recollections of how that looks on the Andromeda Council biosphere. I just know that I'm busy, I go to meetings, and I'm down here back on Earth when I'm done. But yeah, 4D life, there are many, many aspects of 4D life that are radically different from 3D, but I understand it's going to be a lot of fun. Life's going to be a lot easier for us. That much I do know. A lot easier.
Well, I have a pile of questions coming in from all different angles, and I'd like to say we'll answer them all, but it's absolutely impossible. Too many questions, too long to answer. As you can hear, Tolek likes to be in-depth about his answers and complete.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's fine. That's you know, that's your Ray package, and that's why, you know, you have that energy in order to deliver your message, and I understand that, and some people are jumping up and down, and sort of take a deep breath, everybody. Just yeah, chill. Yeah. Just take a chill
pill. Just information. Right.
Yeah.
And if I'll tell you what, if you would like to extend this another half an hour or so, I'll give you the time. It's not a problem.
Okay. I think, well, yeah, maybe.
It's up to
oh,
you.
Dave. Oh, well, it's up to Dave, actually, because he okay. may have, I think he's got a show set at in a few minutes' time. But, no, I think we should close up here. Quick, if you can give a one-sentence answer, for instance, Project Bluebeam, is it likely to be implemented? The fake alien invasion.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Here's my answer. It is, I won't say probable. It is possible. It is possible that the leaders of the Cabal, which are reptilian, as this planet goes through its transitional periods before the transformation to 4D, it is quite possible that the reptilians and their soldiers and minions will possibly launch either an overt power grab in terms of any number of governments, or an outright attack. And or simply a, hey, we're here, we're coming to save you, coming to save your planet. I don't know exactly what it would look like, but they may try any number of means to fool and coerce a number of people. If it happens, the people of Procyon stand ready to shut the reptilians down once and for good. Next question.
Thank you very much, because these are the things, because that's what they said. Bluebeam would be the thing that would get in the way of the credibility of the true visitation.
Right.
So
that's why the two escort ships from Procyon. It's like, listen, we're here. We'll take care of this issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the biosphere. It's got a kind of parking date. There's going to be a time when it comes by, and it's going to be over the northern hemisphere somehow. Or is it going to be visible from all the planet? Is it like, you know, obviously it's going to be stationary, so the planet, when it rotates at night, we'll see it. Yeah.
Oh, sure. It's good. From what I understand, to the people of Earth, it will look like a star. I mean, it'll glow brightly like a star or a planet. Now, if you look up on the night sky, Venus glows brightly. Let's say maybe it'll look like a Venus kind of object.
Okay. So it might be blue, mightn't it?
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Just thinking. Anyway, this is lovely. So I'm just checking on all the last sort of chat rooms to see if there's any questions. We've been programmed. Who is the head of the reptilians, or do they have a god?
Wow, interesting question. I'll tell you what I know. I understand that they are in a closed evolutionary loop. Their spirit vibration is such that it keeps going, it's circuitous, keeps going round and round and round. They keep doing the same things because they're all about control and manipulation. Do the meat-eating Draco, Hydra, Orion, and Cirrus B reptilians have a god? I have no idea. I've never, ever heard anybody ask that question or talk about it. I just haven't. By the way, as a clarifying statement, I also do know that there is at least one reptilian race that is peaceful. They have an ambassador. He's brilliant. He's intelligent. He's wise. He's calm. I wouldn't call him warm, but he's certainly intelligent. And if you liken reptilians to dinosaurs, there were, of course, meat-eating dinosaurs and seaweed, swamp-eating dinosaurs. This particular race of reptilians, they're vegetarians. They've never eaten a piece of meat in their life. They have no interest in the human race on Earth at all. I mean, other than the fact that we evolve and grow up and become a contributing member to the, you know, the greater galactic society of planets, they have no interest in us. So, but a reptilian god, I've never heard that concept. Nope.
Interesting, interesting. So, we're still on track for the January 2014 fourth dimensional stepping out into the world kind of day?
Yes, transformational shift, January 2014.
Okay, yes. Good, good. Message from Tracy, love to Tolek, wonderful to hear him again. So anything else that you can help people with preparing for the event?
This is a great question, and the answer is really simple. To the best of your ability, live your lives. You know, go to work if you're working. You know, if you're lucky enough to have work these days, go to work. Do your job to the best degree possible. I know people screw up, including me, but love your family, love your friends, spend time with your family and friends, spend time with the people that you care the most about. Do small acts of kindness. Just do nice things for people because it's a good thing to do. Be kind and gentle to people. That's about it. You know, everything else, this whole transformation and the transitions that will take place on the way to the transformation to becoming a 4D world, we're gonna get some help. You know, we're not alone in this thing. We're gonna get some help, and things will happen as they're supposed to. So, don't sweat the details and just be good to your family members and your friends and enjoy your life and enjoy the ride as it happens.
That's the best thing I can say.
It's funny you say enjoy the ride. I've just been seeing a thing about Alex Jones being another version of Bill Hicks. Enjoy the ride, ladies and gentlemen. This has been a special Ever Beyond show. Thank you very much for joining us. I'll be on Revolution Radio in a couple of hours' time.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Bye. Thank you, Jay. That was great.
Beyond.
Thank you, Tolek. I got to run. I got another show to do here in a couple minutes.
God bless you, Dave. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Good night.
Thanks for help, Jake. What's your topic?
Dave, thanks.
You're welcome, Tolek.
Tolek announcement. It's a long, long way from